Steve and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show. It's Velocity of Money Week here. Entertaining land investment talk, we hope. I'm Steve and Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from beautiful, sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about the real actual expenses to your business overhead. It's going to get a little money-driven today here, and that's okay. I like it.
The Velocity of Money Week.
Jill's got something
Welcome
else probably.
Welcome to Land Academy.
Jill's all set up to do her regular job during this whole show. I'm just going to sit here and talk.
What do you mean? Wait. I'm going to talk about my day-to-day stuff?
She's got her email. Yeah. No. I think you're going to clear out your email.
Oh. You know, she's just going to I'm going to work on the grocery list?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly.
Like real life stuff, not show stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landacademy.com online community. It's free.
Okay, I'll take a break from my other job here for a minute, and I'll help with this question.
All right. I know you're answering that email.
Thank you. Ellis asks, hello, I'm a serious newbie to land investing, so bear with me. I have a highly motivated seller whose level of motivation makes passing on this deal extremely difficult.
Is bear with me, how do you spell bear with me? Like bear like a, in the woods?
I think it's like this.
I do too.
I think it's like this.
Like in the woods.
Okay. Can I answer the question now?
Yes.
Do you want to critique anything else here? Do you want to?
I'm great at math, but at spelling, no.
Okay.
Not so much there.
Got it. All right.
So I already forgot the right answer.
I know. I can help you here. Okay. So the lot size is 1.25, 1.25 acres. It's out in the Texas countryside.
Good.
The lot shape is long and skinny. These are hilarious ones. 83 feet of road frontage and 600 feet deep or long. That's hilarious. There's enough room for a manufactured / modular home. On the other hand, it appears from the county website that there may be some encroachment on this lot from the house on the left. Bear in mind, I don't have a survey and I'd rather not pay for one. Few questions. Will an encroachment hinder me from selling to a manufactured modular home owner? Two, will an encroachment hinder me from selling to a new build homeowner? I would imagine so if the lender's involved. I almost feel like my only hope is to sell to one of the neighbors, maybe the one that already has crossed the line. Bingo. I'm anxiously awaiting any and all comments and or suggestions. Thanks in advance.
Should you go first or me?
You go first.
Ellis, why are you looking into this property this closely? You know way too much about this piece of dirt. Here's what I would do. The mail came back. Somebody signed the letter. The first thing I look at is I pull it up on Parcelfact and see what's around it. Is it usable? Is there road frontage? Is there trees on it? Are there proper buildings on either side of it? What's the general situation? Because that dictates whether or not I can sell it. We already know because you correctly sent out the mail and it got signed and sent back. We already know that the money part works.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to make sure there's not something really wacky like it's a side of a mountain.
Which sounds like it was trying to determine right here.
So, then that's it. Because chances are, if we call these slivers, all the properties are like that, right?
In that area?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's really strange, it's completely not in a subdivision, it's an anomaly, and it's weird, then you don't want to buy it.
That's true, too.
But encroachments, here's the thing about encroachments. You're probably getting that information by looking at the satellite outline in some version of Google Earth, and they don't line up perfectly.
Right.
So I don't believe that there's an encroachment, first of all. Second of all, if there is, it's probably going to help you.
Exactly.
So.
Like, look on Parcelfact for the real stuff.
And if this is your first deal and you have any question about whether or not you're going to make money on it, then don't do it. Pass it off to somebody else and take 50%. Because the first deal that you do, you want to be running to the bank, you know, in your bathrobe. It's such a good deal. The last thing you want to do is walk into a casino for the very first time, pull the handle.
Find a chip on the floor.
Pull the handle and win.
Right.
So on this, you know,
May I?
Yeah, absolutely.
Tag in here? Okay, so here's what I hear you saying. The first part of it, you're doing everything right. You're doing your due diligence. You looked it up. You're making sure it's great. Passes your test. Hey, there's a road. That's great. It has road frontage. I love it. The shape's kind of funky. Who really cares? The guy's motivated. That's great. Is your price still that good? If so, that's great. And is it not a lot of money that it's, you know, if something goes wrong, you know, I mean, you'd know that, you know, going into it, you know, you probably know who your seller's going to be. Where you're spending too much time is trying to figure out, should I get a survey? No. Should I be thinking about what they can build on it? Should I be talking to the county zoning and making sure there's enough room for this stuff? Because that's what I hear where you're going with that. And I think that's what Steven's trying to say, is where you're spending too much time.
If there's a property that's developed right next to it, it sounds like there is. Mm-hmm. Then you can build on it, unless it's got some severe grading issues. But right. Texas doesn't. Texas is flat in general.
Exactly. And 1 1/4 acres is a nice size.
And 83 feet isn't bad at all.
I love it. I think it's great. Someone could put a nice home on there and have a heck of a backyard or a heck of a front yard.
The property that Jill and I live on is less than 20 feet wide.
Oh, it's hilarious. Is it really that narrow?
Yeah.
Is it really that narrow?
Yep.
Wow. It's hilarious. So funny.
So, you know, 83 feet, I don't know, Texas, everything's bigger, I guess, but I mean, 83 by 600 is fantastic agricultural property.
Yeah.
I mean, Canada's packed with properties like this because they're really good for plowing and all that.
You know, and Ellis, but you know what? Let me back up here. The whole thing is here.
I would do this exact right thing. 3 seconds.
He's doing the right thing. I'm new. Here's the deal. I want to make sure I do this one right. And he's reaching out to the community. Awesome. I'm sure everybody else is weighing in like we are here. Awesome. And you're going to get better and better. And you'll learn real quickly what to spend your time on, what not to spend your time on. And that's why we're here.
Here's what happens every day in our business. I get a list of property that comes in, and the whole staff, nobody moves on an acquisition without me personally approving it, including Jill. And if I saw this, looked it up on Parcel Fact, I would say, buy, next. That's as much research as I would do on this. Wait, there's a property next to it, and it's got a house or a mobile on it, and it's working to buy 125 acres, you'd probably pay about $1,000 for or less. Buy, B-U-Y, next.
Mm-hmm.
And Jill's right.
Thank you.
I'm being a little hard on him.
Thank you.
Today's topic, the real expense, the actual expense in operating your land business, whether it's fixed or variable costs, or lots of different ways you can say business overhead. Everybody seems to know what overhead is, but it's fixed or variable cost analysis that we're going to do here. This is the meat of the show.
This is fun.
Every single company, from Boeing to Microsoft, to your little land company that you're about to start or that you have, has an income statement and a balance sheet. And it has exactly two types of expenses. Fixed costs, stuff like rent that you pay, even if the company doesn't make a dollar. You don't sell a thing. You got to pay rent. Or do you? And then there's variable costs. Fixed costs and variable costs. Variable costs are things that are associated with sales. Like if you're a McDonald's franchise or a Domino's franchise, that's the dough in the pizza. You don't have to buy any dough unless you're actually going to sell some pizza. Mm-hmm. But you do have to pay rent, and you had to pay for that sign that's outside. So you want the smallest amount of fixed costs in general, as a general accounting rule, and the largest amount of variable costs. Well, guess what? It's not an accident that we're in this business.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't choose this without really taking a look at fixed and variable cost analysis. Every single cost that's associated with real estate, land and wholesaling and house wholesaling, is a variable cost. For you, it's data and mail. And you only do that when you're going to buy a property.
Mm-hmm.
There's not rent, because you're probably sitting next to, you've got a little desk set up in your kitchen or next to your bed, wherever your wife not says
put it. Or you took over the dining room table.
Maybe it's in your garage if you're lucky.
Maybe you are.
We're so far along that we have a separate house, and that's where my office is. Mm-hmm. We have a whole separate house because Jill's had it. We call it Jill's house and Steve's house.
Front house, back house.
And on a super good day, I don't have to sleep in my house. I get to sleep in Jill's house.
Uh-huh.
How about power? Electricity? No, you don't have that. You're going to pay that anyway. It's your house, right?
Exactly.
How about people? No, it's just you. It's all set up that way. There's no real expense, business overhead expense, until you get
amazing
bigger, like us.
Right.
You can't do everything by yourself.
Exactly.
This is all set up by design. There's no company, no business that I know of where you can make a return, an ROI of 100% next week with no fixed costs. It's
amazing.
All variable cost.
When you really think about it, it really is.
Yep.
And you could even take it a step further as you're growing and all that. Make your get a VA who's a variable cost only per product, you know, as you
per
need
project.
Them.
Project.
You know, per as we're doing mail this week, whatever it
yep.
is. I need you to help aggregate this data, whatever it is, you know, kind of thing. That's another very, it could be a variable cost. It doesn't
right.
mean, well, I got to go hire help. Shucks, now I got to think about that every month. I got to pay their salary, you know, whatever it is.
Wait a minute, Steve. It costs $250 a month to access the data that you guys provide. That's a fixed cost. It's the same amount every single month. I encourage you. You're exactly right. It is the same amount every month. However, whether you use it or you not or you don't. But if you don't, if you choose not to do that, the amount of money that you will pay for data to actually send one mailing out in one county in Oklahoma, let's say, will shock and amaze you
mm-hmm.
because I used to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And
because we didn't have
the time
option.
And money that you will spend on one mailing like that and not you going as a member, going through offers to owners, going through like yellow letters,
mm-hmm.
it's not comparable.
I remember when I came on board, that's when we found RealQuest.
Right.
I remember that. I remember the contract. I remember going, I mean, at the time too, I was like, $275 a month? And it was a year commitment and all that plus the data. I'm like, but it was still the best thing on the planet. I was like, this saves so much time.
Until Jill got involved, I was using RealQuest as a subscription for a lot of years, paying way, way more than $250 a month.
Right.
I was paying retail rates.
Right.
It was like $500 a month, and you only got like
That's
six
true.
Counties.
You
we
used,
get the whole country.
It changed. That's what it was. It changed,
yeah.
and you had stopped it for a while, and
right.
we're doing other things.
Right.
And then so we circled back around. That's when I came in. You circled back around because it got better and cheaper.
Jill went out there.
Yeah.
She met with the vice president there and said, here's the deal. And she came back, walked out of that smiling.
Yeah.
I mean, she cut the price. The retail rate's like 59 cents a record and $500 or $600 a month. And we negotiated a fantastic rate and we're passing it along. So there's no overhead. There's no fixed cost to this. If somebody else has a better business idea, please email me, honestly, because I'll go do it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We will drop this. No.
If you talk to seasoned experts, like Landshark type seasoned expert, Landshark, Shark Tank
mm-hmm.
experts, they will tell you that to maximally leverage your time, you need to buy companies. And they're right.
Mm-hmm.
But for most of us, that's just unrealistic.
It's true.
Best thing you can do to make $1 billion is to buy a bunch of companies and hire some people to run them so that all you do is buy more companies. That's what the Shark Tank guys did and do.
Mm-hmm.
They don't ground up. Well, they ground up started a couple of companies. Cuban did, right?
Right.
And he'll tell you right away that that's, if he went back, he wouldn't do it. It's better to buy companies. But that's not really, you know, that's for like professional business people. And Jill and I do buy companies.
Mm-hmm.
But for, they still, dollar over dollar, don't make as much as the land companies.
Right. Our startup companies that we have done on separately kill it.
They kill it.
Yeah.
The web-based startup companies, it's fantastic.
Uh-huh. And if they don't, we shut them down quickly.
Or we sell it.
Or sell it. Exactly.
There's still no better, when you look at risk, reward, and the whole thing, buying a 40-acre property for $4,000 and selling it for $12,000.
Mm-hmm.
There's still just, I mean, there's nothing to it.
Can we talk more about some of the land business expenses? Because I want to get this out there. Because I know a lot of people are like, all right,
go ahead.
They're listening and they're in and they want
to
know. They're like, okay, what do I need? What do I really need to plan for? Okay, like you just said, Stephen, data, got to plan for that. You know, and that's, you know, you got to plan for sending out mail. Got to plan for that. You got to plan to have acquisition funds. You got to plan for that. And then you got to plan for when you buy them, you still got to have some money left over to get it recorded. Send a notary out.
How much
is
that?
So
All variable costs, by
all
the way.
Variable.
Every single one. No,
50 to 75 all, bucks for the notary.
They don't vary. I mean, they're variable costs, well, not they, fixed costs.
And you
don't,
both are true.
You don't record a piece of property unless it's sold or purchased.
Right. Exactly. So, but you're going out buying it, so you need to plan for that. To
you need a website.
Need a website. Places to market.
$8.50 a year.
So if you can make your own, or just, you could hire somebody cheaply off right. all kinds of places to make your website.
Or you can go on YouTube and do it yourself because it's a 1 or 2 page website.
Right.
Which so, I would recommend.
Not everybody's set up for that.
You know, I'll tell you, neither was I, and I did it anyway.
Okay.
You got to go learn.
I understand, and I have as well. slash, however,
you talk to these people every day.
I know
day.
It's not. You know what, baby? I got to tell you honestly.
I'm deferring to you.
I love you. It's not a best use of people's time. Sometimes,
right.
let me tell you. If I'm an attorney right now, or like, come on, I'm talking to people. We have plenty of people in our group that make $200,000 a year. Okay, it's not worth their time to take the weekend off to learn to do a website. It's so much cheaper. It's to spend a couple $100
okay.
to have somebody make a website.
All right, fair enough.
Thank you.
You're right.
Thank you. So I didn't mean to shoot down your idea.
No, you're right. I mean, I just think that the value is not the actual website itself. It's going onto YouTube and learning how to do stuff.
I'd rather watch the program and learn how to flip land.
Because exactly. So that was my leading up to that point.
Okay.
You do have to learn. There's a pretty steep learning curve in all this. And I think if you come into it with the mindset that you can outsource it, we have competitors who teach outsourcing and actually doing the data. That's insane. You got to do that yourself.
You want to have your hand. Well, you know why? And I agree with you on that one, because you can't totally trust. There's some things you can let somebody else do. Like, you can tell someone, I want a website that does this, this, and this, and it comes back. You're like, I don't really like that color blue, but who cares? You know, whatever it is, we can work with this.
Hey, you know what the name of our next show is?
But the data part of it is too risky to leave to chance to trust that person's going to do exactly what you want. You really got to have your hands in that, and that's true.
I love this topic. That's why the next tomorrow show is called Land Business Expenses Line Item by Line.
Oh.
So we're just jumping in a little bit ahead, and that's okay.
Thank
we're going to cut to the chase. Well, you've done it again. You spent another almost 20 minutes with us while Jill jumped ahead, which is good.
I did.
It's a logical progression. I like it.
I did.
Join us tomorrow for another interesting episode where we discuss land business expenses line item by line item.
So you'll hear more about that. And we'll answer your questions posted on our free online community found off of landacademy.com.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Yeah, Jill, you are on the front lines about this topic, because I know that these people call you, potential members, and they call you and they ask you all this stuff. Like, what can I really expect? So
yeah, they want
to
know.
I mean this. I'm deferring to you.
Completely. I used to have it. I should. I know my team is putting our FAQ back on the website. It was taken off somehow, and they're refreshing it and putting it back on. And I think I had an FAQ
on
there.
Why did we take that off?
Somebody's grand idea. So anyway.
Somebody who's no longer with us.
I don't know. Anyway, the point is, bringing it back. Because I think that was one of the questions was, how much money do I really need to do this? And that was such a valuable question that I think you had answered originally, and then we kind of added more.
They're not rewriting it, are they?
Oh, gosh, no.
Okay, good.
Oh, no. No, but they're taking out some old information and putting in new information, which happens.
I have no idea what goes on in my own company.
Like, come on, a year ago, we didn't have Parcel Fact.
Right.
There you go. Love it. Hey, share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you are listening. And while you're at it, rate us there, please.
We are Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.